Hello and welcome to Terra Nullius Cyprus. I'm Costa Constanti, your host. Thank you to the CVR Cerveris Foundation for the lovely accommodation and the recording room, and to Limoncello for the lovely sweets and drinks. I have with me today Hasan Tabakci. Hoş geldin.
Hoş bulduk.
It's nice to see you. Thank you for coming in. I know it's nice and hot in Cyprus at the moment. We're closing in on 40 degrees, so we're in the air conditioning at least. But hot topic, EU Unite. Tell us a little bit about this that you work with.
Thank you. Thank you, Costa. First of all, thank you for the opportunity and welcoming me here at your premises. EU Unite program. EU Unite program is a part of EU aid program in the north, and it was set up to support businesses across North Cyprus. So actually, the EU Unite program is first initiated with the Hellumi Hellim PDO project, and then we continue with the eradication of the animal diseases, which is connected to the PDO process as well.
So just to interrupt you there, when you talk about the animal diseases, this is like the LSD for cows, lumpy skin disease,
all that, because we do regular testings across the whole fields. So we make sure that the level of the diseases is isn't safe premises. So that's why we are helping the, you know, along with the veterinary department, we're helping them to make sure that the, you know, the testings are done, and the, you know, the raw milk and the source of the milk is coming from the, because traceability in this kind of PDO program is very important. So to get that traceability, we have to support that as well.
Okay, no, that's actually really interesting, because I know that this obviously will contribute towards the containment of issues as well, because the green line obviously doesn't stop diseases as much as some people would like that. It would have been one of the positives of the green line. But so you said the program overall is funded by the European Union.
It is under the EU aid program since we launched it in 2006. So since then, the EU is supporting, has an office there, and supporting basically many sectors. So what we are dealing with, the private sector. So across the EU Unite, we support mainly private sectors, but mainly manufacturers, and on the agribusiness side, the farmers, the people dealing with fisheries, and you know, bees and all that.
What is the European Union's incentive to do this?
Well, after the, you know, referendum, when we voted 65% yes, and the other side voted against it, and EU decided to, you know, have open offices and support Turkish Cypriot community to come to a standards of the European Union. So since then, I don't know the exact numbers in terms of financial initiatives. But since then, they are supporting the Turkish Cypriot community to come to a standards.
It's about bringing the Turkish Cypriot community to the European Union standards, which the Greek Cypriot community had obviously done to join the EU prior. Okay, so in other words, not only is this a benefit to the Turkish Cypriots, but this is to the benefit of the entire island.
Yes, of course.
With view of a reunification. So one of the arguments a lot of Greek Cypriots say is, oh, if we reunite, then we're going to have to bankroll the Turkish Cypriots to catch up to us. But the EU is already one step ahead, trying to help the Turkish Cypriots already before a resolution to meet that standard, which will make the day after much easier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, of course, of course. I mean, it, the, obviously, the peace-building aspect, you know, there are a lot of going on through the NGOs on the peace-building aspect and the confidence-building as well. So it's not just the structure and the baseline, the infrastructures. I mean, we are dealing with the private sector, so all our job is, you know, businesses, startups and all that, all the infrastructure and the, you know, business support economy. But on the side, EU is not just supporting the private sector. It's just NGOs, municipalities, you know, UNDP project, you know, renovation projects and all that. So on many fields that they are supporting financial initiatives, both technical initiatives as well.
I know that a lot of people will be interested in the Hellumi Hellim PDO issue. Is this so you can assist the Turkish Cypriots to have the Hellumi that matches what the Republic of Cyprus, the Greek Cypriots, have a registered as the PDO so it can be matching. Is that right?
It is with just one regulation. It doesn't matter if you are from Turkish side or the Greek side. The PDO process, the regulations and standards are verified in from an independent body called Buravitas, which is based in Ziggy. Okay. So all of the produces, doesn't matter from Greek or Turkish, so it has to do the standards, and that independent companies approve them, and then you can export anywhere you like, basically over the Green Line train if you are from the Turkish side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the standards are there, you know, project designated origin is very clear.
So this makes it for somebody in Sweden or London or even here in Cyprus to know that that halloumi or halim that they're holding in front of them, if it says PDO, then it's of a certain quality, it's made a certain way, and they know that the standard has been kept.
Of course, course. And one of the key thing here is with the, if you see Halloumi Halim on the branding, you know that it's from Cyprus. Because if you can't see it, it means that it's not from Cyprus.
Yeah, or it's not PDO.
Or it's not PDO. Okay. It's not protected.
Just before we move on, just I was actually in a supermarket the other day and I saw some halloumi there that had chili on it. And I know that chili is not part of the PDO, but it still said halloumi on that.
In Cyprus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Is you that
can, it's possible.
It's possible? It's possible. Is that a breach of the PDO?
No, it's not. It's it added value to the whoever is producing it. And they want to do increase their variety in terms of the product. Cypriot producers can do that.
Cypriot producers, but somebody in like London, for example, cannot do that.
No, they cannot do that, and they cannot call it halloumi as well. Now,
So what do they call it now? Cypriot white cheese,
grilled cheese,
grilled cheese, halloumi,
all sort of stuff, you know, in your name. So,
okay. Now, part of the EU-Unite framework umbrella is the Startups for Peace.
Yeah.
Now, this has my attention because startups is the sexy word on the street at the moment. Old school people like me, not so aware what startups mean. Take us right to the start. First of all, what is a startup? And then tell us about what is Startups for Peace and what the project is all about.
Okay, well, startup is basically, I know it's a hot topic, and the, but basically in simplest word, it's just a new businesses, you know, people have who has an idea, so opens a business, who wants to go through this process. It's called startup, basically. Okay. And the ecosystem here we're trying to, you know, build bicommunally is actually keep increasing, by the way. And the feedback we are getting from across the communities, I mean, the number of startups is growing, you know, considering the situation that we are in. But if you come to Startup for Peace, I mean, Startup for Peace is a is the only bicommunal accelerator program in the island. So it's been funded by European Union and co-funded by Embassy of Finland as well. And then this is the 10th year that we are launching the program. It's basically getting startups across the wide into a form of two residential boot camps. So one of the boot camps is taking place in the Greek side, and one of the boot camps is going to take place in the Turkish side. So the idea is, let along with the business support and development, the idea is to bring the communities together and then make set them an atmosphere so that they can feel relaxed and they can discuss all sorts of issues, including business, including peace building, influence, confidence building, including the culture here.
In the boot camps on either side, in either community, is it monocommunal when they do the boot camps? Like, is it in the Greek Cypriot community, is it just Greek Cypriots in the boot camps? So it's mixed?
It's mixed.
Okay, so
it's bicommunal.
Right, so Greek and Turkish Cypriots and other community members can go to this boot camp, one in the south, one in the north. They have this opportunity to network, dialogue, share best practice and ideas. I'm assuming it's also a hot opportunity for potential business partners to meet and create ideas or even onboard somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's been 10, this is the 10th year now. So
a decade, wow.
Yeah, it's, we are celebrating a decade. So we have a new incentive for this year as well, especially for this year as well. I can mention that in a while. But for the last 10 years, we have a growing community around 80 startups now. So we have an alumni network of 80, both Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriots.
Is that 80 startups that are still surviving and operating? Or 80?
I mean, they try. The maturity level depends. Some of them is in a very low stage. Some of them are doing businesses, kind of businesses around that. But we hold regular alumni events. The last one was in February in the residence of Finland. And then, yes, like you said, you know, we try to, you know, get them together as much as we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, to keep that bonding and to keep that cooperation. And I am seeing a lot of cooperations and collaborations between them in terms of business.
Yeah.
So what we have seen in terms of peace building and here, I know there's a lot of projects and a lot of efforts is being taken on in terms of bicommunal events. But what I'm seeing at the moment for the last 10 years, business is one of the, I think, is a key area for peace building.
Yeah.
Because you spend so much time and you are dedicated and you are focused. It doesn't matter you are Turkish or Greek or whatever. So
business is business.
Business is business. So the money incentive there and, you know, growing something together that you are passionate is it's a good measure to.
I remember one of the very first thing I learned in conflict analysis, which I went on later to teach, was that when businesses are involved and when it is not in the interest of business for there to be conflict, and there are less chances of conflicts breaking out. Because people, at the end of the day, it's the bottom dollar. They want to be able to make an income, feed their family, house themselves, be comfortable. If you don't have that, then it's much easier to conflict.
Yes.
Some lecturers of mine from the States used to call it the McDonald's phenomenon. So wherever there was a region with McDonald's, wars would not happen there because McDonald's obviously had invested in the area and would not want a conflict to come and affect the business. I mean, that's really, really stupefying the theory. Okay. But, okay, so you've had about 80 successful alumni projects. It's been going for 10 years. So that's actually quite impressive. That's like 8 on average a year. I'm assuming less in the beginning, perhaps more now with expertise. And it's amazing that the EU and the embassy of Finland, I mean, we have to thank Helsinki, I guess, as well for contributing so much to this. And I know the staff of the Finnish embassy are actually quite proactive and quite open-minded, and they do a lot of good work. I've seen the work over the years. What's the special 10-year anniversary year entailing? What's happening this year?
Okay, so we will have the regular, of course, the two residential boot camps. So the Startup for Peace delivery method is bringing best expertise overseas. Mm-hmm. So we always have international experts from abroad
coming to Cyprus
to deliver the workshops under the boot camps.
Okay.
So it's two days of workshop from on the each side. So, which is delivered by the international expert. So that's very key under this program, because we try to bring the best possible, the mentors and the mentees available globally. So that's something new for the Cypriot startups as well, for the local ecosystem as well. So after the boot camps, we hold a pitching battle session in the buffer zone.
That's
always the,
like a dragon's den kind of.
It's a big event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we quite enjoy that. So we form an independent jury, bicommunal as well. And then there are spectators, family members and all them. We give them the big stage, the screens, and we give them 5 minutes each for the 10 teams. Sorry, I forgot to mention. We always select 10 teams for the boot camps. And 10 teams pitch there to win the prizes. So the usual prizes, of course, when the Embassy of Finland is involved, the winners get the chance to go to Helsinki to the Slash. The Slash is one of the biggest startup event in the world. So
yeah, it's a massive. You wouldn't call it summit. What would you call that? Congress, summit, festival.
It's everything. I mean, this is going to be the third time this year that I will be going. I mean, it's crazy there. The atmosphere. It's not just the Slash. The whole Helsinki ecosystem throughout the week is a lot of going on. I mean, the whole Europe, even from the States, the venture capitalists, the angels, the startups, the last year's numbers, I think around 35,000 people attended. I think 15,000 startups, 20,000 investors, something like that.
So there'll also be scouts, people coming in looking for businesses to invest in and all. I mean, this is for Cyprus, little fish in a big pond. Yeah. I mean, this would be a phenomenal opportunity.
Yes, I mean, they quite enjoyed it. All the startups are quite enjoying that Helsinki visit. But for the 10th year, we are providing, actually giving out 20,000 euros of seed funding this year.
Wow, for the winner.
For the first three winners. So the first the first winner will receive up to 10K,
mm-hmm.
and the second 5, and the third winner is going to get 5
okay,
as well, so as a seed funding.
That's quite a good incentive for, so obviously the winner is somebody who's managed to pitch the idea to the audience at the pitching battle. But yeah, I mean, like, look, images of that TV show, the reality TV show with Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's not something as ugly as that. But
imagine how he turned up that TV show to be a president of the United States.
Well, this is some inspiration for Cypriots. Yeah, like, somebody from the pitching could be the president of Cyprus. The president of the reunion. You know, maybe the bicommunal partnership could be president and vice president or something.
Yeah.
But no, that's actually quite an incentive. So, like, when is this pitching battle going to happen?
October. So, the timing. So, next mm-hmm. week, mm-hmm. 26th of June, Thursday, mm-hmm. we are launching the program, mm-hmm. and the applications will be open that mm-hmm. day, and we will have a launch event. Feel free to come to there as well. It's going to be in the buffers on the Goethe Institute.
Okay. On what date?
Thursday, 26th of June. At 6 p.m.
And can someone go online to find the information?
Yes.
Where can they go?
E-Unite program, Facebook pages, social, mm-hmm. Instagram, LinkedIn. It's everywhere.
Okay. So anyone listening now, I'll have the addresses in the comments on the post, so you'll be able to find that. So it's the E-Unite program. You can find it on Facebook and all the other social mediums that Hassan has mentioned.
But Constance, sorry. The Startup for Peace has its own socials as well.
Ah.
You know, if you don't want to get, you know, lost in the E-Unite program activities, yeah. and there's a lot of other stuff going on there mm-hmm. in terms of implementation,
mm-hmm.
Startup for Peace has a other identity on the socials as well, and okay. a website. Ah. It's called startupforpeace.eu. Startup.
Startupforpeace.eu. Startupforpeace.eu.
Yeah.
Okay, so on that Facebook page, they can find all the advertising and news announcements and make an application.
And applications will be open on the 26th, the day of the launch, mm-hmm. through our website, which is the startupforpeace.eu.
And when is the deadline?
12th of August.
Okay, so they've got about a month and a bit
window. To get ready, fill the application forms, you know, get their paper going. And then because we are asking some questions, because it's a popular program, so we have to have 10 teams to deliver the program. So there's a kind of an evaluation process as well. But all the evaluation criteria, eligibility, and all the other stuff can be found on the website.
Okay, and this is the applicants. Do they need to be a bicommunal group, or can it be monocommunal? Like, can just the Greek Cypriot on his own?
Yes,
on their own, I should say.
Yes.
Okay.
It can be. The teams doesn't have to be a bicommunal. It's just they need to be a founder or co-founder of a startup, at least 18 years of age to travel. Currently residing in Cyprus to attend the boot camps, because the boot camps is mandatory.
When are the boot camps?
Boot camps after the we are going to close the applications on the 12th of August, and we will have the evaluation. So end of August we will start to announce the winners, and then the initial 10 teams will be contacted by our delivery partners, which are the international experts, to do the first screening, first diagnostic and initial one-to-ones. And then the first bootcamp is going to be in Limassol, Agros. We go
in Agros,
to the hills there. There's
much cooler.
Yes. And on the 11th of September, the first one.
Okay, well, that's actually quite fascinating. And it's actually really good to hear that this energy and movement is moving forward. Because a lot of people have heard about, for example, the Stelios Foundation and things like that, which are, you know, one-off hits and things like this. But something as dedicated as this, that's not just about forking out some money and then sending people on their way. Mm. It actually sounds like it's offering opportunity for lessons to be learned, for development, for networking. It really, really has a good framework around it. So I find that quite impressive. And I've learned a lot about this in this very quick, rapid podcast we put together today. I want to thank you so much for coming in. Before we wrap up, is there any last comment or any hopes that you'd like to express regarding this overall project and image?
I mean, Startup for Peace is a growing community, and what I want to finish with the, you know, I have been experiences for the last 4 years now, and okay, the business support is something, bringing international expertise is something, but you know, after the full day of workshop in the workshops, we, you know, go outside and have a beer, you know, to cool down in the summer, and without me or our team to doing anything. I've seen startups from both of the communities that are all already engaged, already discussing, having a couple of these, and it's a nice, you know, frame to see, you know, and a nice experience. You feel that, I mean, this is very possible. We get along very easily, very quickly. I mean, they get to know each other in the morning, at the night, you know, and after a full day of workshop, they are already bonded.
So it's
a good experience. So you have to experience this.
The truth is that Cypriots in general, we are incredibly social beings. Yes. I mean, even with people that we may have been tense or uncomfortable with in the beginning, we do become very social and friendly very quickly because we tend to pinpoint our commonalities and friendly points, let's say. And so I'm actually glad to hear that that's the case. And that obviously contributes to the success of these businesses as well, because these are people that would not have met, perhaps, you know, naturally. Well, look, Hasan, çok teşekkürler. Really appreciate you coming in and recording this information dump for the people. All links and everything will be on the comments of the post. And thank you so much. Look forward to seeing this on the other end.
Yes, thank you, Costa. It was a pleasure.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. Island Talks. Open. Diverse. Free.